This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. First, the good news. Wide receiver John Brown back out at practice and participating. Linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and Tyrell Dotson are also both at practice. Edmonds, however, still wearing the red non-contact jersey. Dotson, however, is padded up for practice and out of his red jersey, so it looks like he's ready to go. No sign, though, of Matt Milano or Delshon Phillips. We'll have the full injury update when the Thursday injury update is released later this afternoon. A couple of transactions for the Bills as well today. The team elevated defensive back Cam Lewis from the practice squad to the active roster. They also signed defensive tackle Brandon Bryant and linebacker Deion Lacey to the practice squad. Lacey was previously with the Bills from 2017 to 2018. More injury notes from around the NFL. Dolphins wide receiver Devontae Parker, a key part of Miami's offense, limited in practice Wednesday with a hamstring injury that forced him out of last week's game against New England. He is participating in individual position drills today, according to reports. He did the same thing yesterday. We'll have to wait and see if his practice designation is upped from limited to full participation later this afternoon. Cornerback Xavien Howard and Byron Jones for the Dolphins, both limited in practice yesterday. They're still not 100% recovered from offseason knee surgery and an Achilles injury. Both appeared to be on pitch counts on defense for the Dolphins last week. An errant throw from 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo exposed tight end George Kittle to a blow to the knee, which resulted in a sprained knee that could keep Kittle from playing this weekend against the Jets. He did not practice on Wednesday. To golf, 2020 U.S. Open at Wingfoot Golf Club is officially underway. Round one going on right now. Patrick Reed and Justin Thomas are your co-leaders at 4 under par. The U.S. Open is the first of 6 major championships of the 2020-2021 golf season. And that is your sports update from One Bills Drive. And One Bills Live, hour number 2 beginning now. And we begin by reminding you that the Bills have announced a series of unique player-inspired apparel items for the 2020 season. Bills fan boxes will be available during the week prior to all 8 home games, each containing a high-quality player-designed T-shirt along with other exclusive products. A portion of the proceeds each week will benefit a charity of the player's choice. Fans can purchase each box individually at billsfanbox.com or subscribe to receive all remaining boxes for the rest of the season at a 5% discount. So the one coming up for the Week 3 home game against the Rams, Motor Singletary. Our MSG viewers are getting a look at it right now.
I like it.
Couple of tires for legs for Motor Singletary. So that's a good one. Designed by Devin himself. So we had the Black Lives Matter T-shirt that was designed by Jerry Hughes in Week 1. Motor Singletary is the latest addition coming your way here in Week 3. So go to billsfanbox.com and see if you're interested in adding that to your T-shirt collection.
Sharp, too. It kind of jumps. It's bright red. Got his autograph on it. Him in a uniform. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. High-stepping with a couple of tires.
Yeah, he's got tires for feet.
Yeah, it's
Motor
awesome.
Singletary. I like it.
Very
so
nice.
Good theme tie-in there to his nickname. And I think Bills fans are certainly going to be hoping he's motoring this weekend down in Miami as he and Zach Moss return to their South Florida roots. Hopefully that adds a little extra dose of motivation to run all over a Dolphins defense that gave up over 200 yards on the ground, though most of those came from the quarterback, Cam Newton.
Right.
And it may have to happen again here with Josh this week.
Yeah.
As we discussed with Maddie, I think the Bills would be doing themselves a disservice if they didn't at least utilize Josh in the early going to see if the Dolphins figured out what their problems were last week against New England.
Right. You got to. And, you know, last week was a feeling out phase for every team in the league. Bills are no exception. They had some things they had to find out about before, and things went their way, no question about it. But it's week two is a little bit better because at least you know nobody's off the hook all of a sudden. Certainly there's some teams that are disappointed. In fact, I was going to ask you before we get into the sound bites from yesterday's – I got to ask you, Thursday Night Football tonight, Bengals-Browns.
I'm going to be watching the Islanders, game six.
You're going to be
against
watching
the Lightning.
Just turn hockey on.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. What do you, I do have a vested interest
let
there.
Let me just
but
say
yes.
this. I've always been critical of Cincinnati of the Cincinnati Bengals, just the way they do business. I just right. whatever. I'm kind of rooting for them tonight.
I think I'm
a Joe Burrow
guy. Is that
guy.
Because of distaste for the Browns?
No,
or?
I think I'm just a Joe Burrow guy. Plus, I'm always rooting against the guys that were in their same quarterback class as Josh.
It's going to be interesting to see how they rebound, both teams, because the Browns got run over by the Ravens.
They got trucked.
And then the Bengals had a kicker with a cramp and lost, you know, instead of forcing overtime to the Chargers.
When Joe Burrow is my age.
He'll still be thinking about that game?
He'll be talking to guys about
it. Because it's his first game.
My opening game. I get in there. I drive it down there. We got a chance to take him to overtime. And the kicker's calves cramp. And he skanks it into the third row in the corner of the end zone.
That was a big yeesh with a capital Y. And then he's like, I'm cramping!
Oh, my God, it's so bad. I'll tell you what, the final drive, Joe Burrow looks like a real
– He was dealing.
NFL quarterback.
He was dealing.
Now, I will say this. The team around him played okay. The offensive line gave him time. He was doing short steps. The ball was coming out on time. The pass rush of the Chargers, which was which was vaunted with Joey Bosa and all the guys that are there, that looks to me like they didn't give him that. Anyway, that pass rush was negated. And we're watching highlights here, and that's, one of the things I was, another pass interference down in the end zone.
That's offensive pass interference.
Offensive pass interference. But, Joe Burrow did it just right. You got to tip your hat to him. I'm intrigued by Joe Burrows.
There will be fans in the stands, we should mention, in Cleveland tonight. They have them properly distanced. You say, how are they going to properly distance people? They've put zip ties on the seats that are not to be used, which basically they fold the chair up and then they zip tie it, fold it up, so you can't pull it down.
Now, that makes sense.
Obviously, with enough force, you could do it, but
it's
a good preventative measure. It's certainly better than just putting some.
But you can stand up and walk around. I mean, which some knuckleheads will do.
Well,
right now, what about the? Do
there's
they have
always a, some?
Do you have? Do they have provisions for pods, isolation pods?
I would anticipate that they've already arranged for that. Like, hey, there's this group of six people. They're all in a pod together.
So
they're going to sit
three
together.
Behind.
However they do it, they'll all be able to sit together. I believe that will be the case, yes.
All right.
But we do want to get to some more comments from the Bills players, as a slew of them were made available to the media yesterday. And Stephon Diggs coming off a nice debut performance against the Jets, in which he was targeted 9 times, made 8 receptions, was 3 of his receptions went for first downs off third down. They were third down conversions. So the early chemistry between he and Josh looked to be pretty good. But he knows this week it'll be a step up in competition. So here is Stephon Diggs on the cornerbacks they'll be facing this weekend.
They're athletic group, fast group. You're going to see press man-to-man. Went against Byron Jones a little bit in Dallas. But in this current system, they're going to play a lot of man. And is he going to be man-to-man coverage? You got to be man-to-man coverage, and you got to just execute at a high level, as far as, doing everything you need to do to get open for your quarterback and catch the ball. So definitely going to be a challenge for us. That defense I don't know what they say about them. I think they're a good group, active. They fly around. So it's going to be a challenge for us just like each and every week.
So, you know, it's just another week, another challenge. I had not cross-referenced that to realize that he had seen Byron Jones before, so he's not completely foreign to what he brings to the table, having gone up against him. You can watch a guy on film time and time and time again, but if you've never faced a guy before, you don't know how he's going to play you,
right?
Which will inevitably be different than maybe what you see from him on film against other guys, right?
I'll give you maybe it's a lame example, but you can watch guys. I used to do it as well. When I would go out to cover punts, you would watch the guys that you're going to work against as much as you can. You watch them on film, and you watch one play, then the next play, then the next play. And I would even try to watch double teams, although some of the film I got, you know, they didn't double team the guy that was playing my spot. So some of that would happen. But what happens is this. When you get into the game and you're matching your mindset and your skill set against that guy's mindset and his skill set, when you come off the ball and you do what you're going to do and you play to your strengths and his weaknesses and he does the same or attempts to, the first play is always as though you had never seen each other. But then every play you go, every rep you get against that guy, particularly like you see this in training camp a ton. Every play everything is an adjustment to the last play you had, and then it's an adjustment to the last two plays you win, and then it's a So by the end of a game, or by midway through training camp, you've got nothing new to show him. He's got nothing new to adjust to you with, and there's a level of knowledge there that. Okay, here we go. I'm going to try this. This one, you're going to go back into something he's already seen. That relationship happens during every game you play, particularly where a guy like Steph Diggs, who's looking at this guy in the eye, play after play after play after play. And so, no matter you're right. No matter how much film you watch, four live reps on a field is better than. Six
that
hours.
Will tell you more.
It's more than 6 hours of film will help.
Wow.
You.
Okay.
I mean, it's those four reps for real will tell you everything. That film study will help you pre-snap, but it's not going to help you the rest of the
and
day.
And that's an example of using the game to help you play the game. You know, you used to always hear your teacher use the test to take the test. Use the game early to help you later in the game. Like,
right.
You know, the way this guy may have played you on a given play call, you get that same play call in the fourth quarter, you may now know how to properly set him up based on the way he played you the last time.
And there's also a thing like this. I know when I go up there, I want to run that same play we ran in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He'll recognize it unless I make the stem look completely different than I did in the first quarter. I'm going to make him think we're running that over route rather than giving him the heads up that I'm going to run that corner again. So you're thinking like that. So you're trying to anticipate what he's thinking about what
it's
you're
chess
doing.
Match. Yeah.
And I had this article with Peter King back in the day, and it's a little bit like the old movie Princess Bride, where they're
fun storming the castle.
Yes, but this one is Vicini when he's trying to do the battle of wits.
Oh yes.
And he says,
"You know that I know.
You know that I know that you know that he thinks himself into. That's what you're doing every play. It's what you're doing every play. You might not know that I know,
but I know that you know.
That's right. You may not have seen this play on film 2 weeks ago, but I think you saw it. So I'm going to use it and think I'm going to run that play, but I'm going to not run it and run something else, knowing that you've done your homework. That kind of stuff.
You are sounding like Vicini now.
It is." That's the gymnastics you're going through.
Yeah.
And for 35 pass plays in the game, you're pretty exhausted after the end. Forget about running around.
Mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
Tre'Davious White, who we all know can be funny at times, he's got a great sense of humor. He was asked about playing against what is now their former teammate, Shaq Lawson. Now, these two guys obviously will not be on the field at the same time. The Bills' offensive linemen will have to contend with Shaq. But Tre'Davious White is anticipating a whole lot of chatter and a whole lot of trash talk from their former teammate, Shaq Lawson.
We know that football is just a game, but outside of football, you know, we're connected beyond the game of football. So you always want a guy to do great, even if it's come at the expense of the guy leaving, if he can go get compensated to where he feel like he's worth, then that's what it is. But at the end of the day, you know, once the helmets come off and the shoulder pads come off, we're connected. We talk all the time. We text, FaceTime, joke all the time. So it's just a game of football that we're on the opposite, on a different end. But when we take the helmet off, man, we forever bonded. So I value that over everything. You know, the relationships that I've been able to build, and the friendships that I've been able to build, those are the things that I cherish for a lifetime. So no matter what team each another guy's on, when they take the helmet off and we outside the field, man, we're still bonded. So that's what I cherish, and that's what I believe in, and just, you know, earning your friendships, earning your relationships that, you know, that you built, you know. So because at the end of the day, once the game is done, once you walk away, those guys are still going to still be your friends, and you can still have those relationships. So that's what I value the most.
How much quieter has it been during training camp and being around here with Shaq not in the building?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I know one thing, John. We got a lot of gum left because Shaq lost and used to chew all the bubble gum. So we got a lot of gum in the locker room now that he's gone. So it's been different, man. We got a lot of gum, like I said, and then we don't hear as much trash talk on the field. So it's pretty dope. But we're gonna miss him. But we're gonna see him on Sunday. So we gonna have to kind of he gonna talk trash on Sunday. We already know that. Doing the warm ups, doing everything. We know what's coming with Shaq. So it's gonna be fun.
And I did find it interesting how the Patriots used Shaq last week. There were times the Dolphins. There were times where they used him as a true stand-up outside linebacker at the line, you know, two-point stance. And then there were times where he was used as a down lineman, as a five-technique end, and then they would flip him from one side to the other. So Shaq has kind of a versatile role with the Dolphins, at least from early film. That could change week to week, I suppose, based on the opponent. But it was interesting to see the way they deployed him in multiple spots where he was flipping on one side to the other of the formation, and then sometimes he had his hand on the ground. So be interesting to see how he's used going forward.
Here. He's still a young player who is a first-round draft pick with traits of a first-round draft pick. He's a versatile athlete. Now, there's certain things he doesn't do well, like we mentioned the other day. He has a hard time running backwards.
Yeah, he's not a reverse player.
But the guy's got some traits.
Yeah.
He was, you know, the Bills took him in the first round, and he, you know, whatever.
Power
he fit,
rusher,
whatever.
Not a speed
yeah,
rusher.
He's got some traits. So he brings something to the table, as Bills fans found out last year. His best year, I think, as a pro was last year. So they're starting to find out what he can do, and they're going to give him a chance to prove it. And then as later in the year goes on, mm-hmm. I would imagine they'll find a place where he'll settle in.
There is a healthy respect for one Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I believe is now 38 and is still slinging the ball. And that respect is evident in Buffalo's locker room on defense. Jordan Poyer was asked about facing this familiar, ageless quarterback with the giant beard. And here's Jordan Poyer with his level of respect for Fitzy.
A guy like Fitzpatrick, you know, savvy veteran, guy who's been playing a long time. So, you know, you got to give him his respect. You know, he's out there. He's won a lot of football games. You know, he can throw the ball. He puts the ball in a lot of really good spots for his receivers to go up and get the football. You know, it's a savvy vet. You know, not a lot of weaknesses that he has. And yeah, he's a very confident football player, confident in himself. And so, you know, it's going to be a big task for us to come to Miami and get a dub.
And as we mentioned yesterday, he did have three interceptions last week against the Patriots, Fitz did, but two of those came on receivers falling down on routes, you know, and he always throws with anticipation. He has to if he's going to get it there. And to his credit, his brain works fast enough to enable him to do that and be successful. But his receivers fell down on two of his three interceptions. The third one, which was in the end zone at the end of the game, his intended target, which I believe was the tight end, Mike Gesicki, was literally picked like a basketball pick in the middle of the end zone. And the safety who was behind the other safety who was covering Gesicki had an easy catch for an interception, and that basically ended the game. So I don't know that I put it on Fitz with those on any of those three picks. There's the pick at the end. Do you see he got picked by the safety there, and then the other safety just scoops it, takes the interceptions. So
they weren't egregious interceptions at all. Certainly,
he's had some of those, but that was not the case last week.
Even that last one, it was a tough catch. It was a 50-50 ball that got tipped out of the receiver's hands. So, and the only one that he got fooled on was the second pick when he was looking to go to his right and the safety dropped back out of the line of scrimmage and fell into it from the other side. He came from out of his field of vision and stepped into the passing lane after he'd released it, because he has to release it early. So, they were picks, no question about it. But like most of his, you can see the reasoning behind the throw. It's not hard to see that. Sometimes he doesn't execute the throw really well, or somebody falls down, or somebody catches him in a gotcha play like that. But he knows where to go with the football. There's no question about it. He may get picked off once in a while because he doesn't have the arm strength or you drop a guy unexpectedly where he's not expecting the guy to be. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't make mental mistakes. His mistakes are usually physical because he lacks the arm strength, or he gets caught because he can't avoid the rush good enough to make a good throw, step into it. It's mistakes like that you usually see with Fitz. Because the guy really does know where to throw the football. He's played for a long time, and that's been his calling card.
One last guy we wanted to get to here on the player sound from yesterday when they were all made available via Zoom call. Mitch Morse was asked about playing the first road game. Obviously, there are going to be an increased number of protocols because these guys are going to be traveling on a plane. They'll be in a hotel, and then they'll be on a bus going to the stadium, and distancing and all of that stuff, and basically holing up in your hotel room, not leaving the hotel, is part of these protocols, so you don't unnecessarily expose yourself to other people, especially in South Florida, of all places. So here's Mitch Morse on the team's first road game amidst all of these COVID protocols.
It was one of those things that was definitely different this last week, but much like any game, you hone into the specifics of what's going on. You kind of drown out if there is a crowd, if there isn't. You try to focus on your goal and your task. So it will be different. But this year is so wild and just unique that it's given us an opportunity to get used to that. And so we'll have the opportunity to see how it plays out and just go with the flow.
Just go with the flow. You don't have a choice, really. You just got to kind of adhere to everything, to do right by your teammates and your coaches. They're basically going to get to the hotel, and it's going to be room service city.
Right. They'll have they may have some they have meetings, and they'll have get-together. Treatments for the injured guys.
Not going to have a buffet line, though.
No buffet line.
Meal.
Yeah, they're not going to let –
That's
no,
not happening.
No, they're not letting the wait staff around these guys.
Right.
It'll be meetings, it'll be get-togethers with the players and stuff as they have probably abbreviated. And they may do some Zoom stuff inside the rooms. But it'll be – oof. That's rough.
It's going to be different.
That's right. It's going to be different. And I think the real tough thing is usually, particularly for the young players, when they travel and they go by air, they always have to pound into these guys. You got to keep drinking water and stay hydrated, because air travel, because of the altitude, dehydrates you. So you get on, you get to the stadium you're going to, and all of a sudden you're cramping up or you're pulling muscles, not because you're not in shape, it's because you traveled. If you don't have somebody standing there, these guys, they just don't think about it. As easy as it sounds, these guys aren't going to be under the thumb of the training staff as much as they are on a normal trip.
Yeah. Now, as I promised, Steve, I had some stats on Josh Allen's rushing exploits against the Dolphins.
Write these down.
In comparison to the rushing stats of his running backs over the last, this will be the third season, so over the last 2 years. So we're basically talking about four games worth of rushing statistics against the Dolphins, okay? So, 2018, 2019, Bills running backs have combined for 91 carries for 331 yards against the Dolphins. So that is a yards per carry average of 3.63, relatively pedestrian, right? That's a pedestrian average.
Gotcha.
You want to try to be at four, and then you're productive. So a little less than where you want to be. Josh Allen in four games against the Dolphins. Rushing totals, 29 carries for 318 yards and an average of 11 yards per carry, Steve. So Josh Allen has had, let me see here. I got to do my math. I'm terrible at this.
He's had like a
62
third.
Fewer carries than the running backs.
He's a third.
But he only has 13 fewer rushing yards on 62 fewer carries.
Well, if he had one more carry at 11 yards, he'd be 2 yards behind their total. One more carry.
Yeah.
At the average.
I mean, he's 13 fewer yards on 62 fewer carries. I mean, that is insane. But it just shows the kind of problem that he is for the Dolphins and just about any other defense for that matter. When you have a running back who can run just over 20 miles per hour and is 250 pounds, it's a problem for anybody. And we heard Brian Flores address this, you know, because they were saying, well, you had trouble stopping Cam Newton. Are you going to be able to key in on Josh? And he said, well, we can't exactly do that because of who they can line up outside. And we talked to Dan Orlovsky about that yesterday. You know, having a spy on Josh is all well and good, but you're robbing from Peter to pay Paul. You only have 11 guys out there.
Right.
So if you're going to commit him to the quarterback, that means somebody out there on the outside is on an island with either John Brown or Stephon Diggs. Do you want to do that? I don't know if you do.
It's a balance, and it's going to keep defensive coordinators jumping around in their philosophy, and they're going to start trying to guess what the Bills are going to do next. They'll get a feel for personnel and formations and shifts, and they'll say, hey, in this formation, personnel and shift, the Bills have done this more than anything else. So we're going to play that, which means they're going to have an idea. They don't hand it off. They throw it to the outside. So we're going to drop guys out in this formation shift and personnel group and take away those outside guys knowing that's where they want to go. Problem is, the Bills will do the exact same stuff. It's called analytics. They'll say, when we get into this shape, this personnel grouping shift and formation, we've done this 89% of the time. We got to think they're going to expect it. So we're going to put in this little tweak, and we're gonna nick them for a big one. That's the kind of chess match you're talking about.
Whether it's like Dawson Knox on a seam or something.
The problem is, they got like 85 plays to go on, and they got about probably 15 different personnel shifts and formations and all that. So they got to start hard to extrapolate that into a meaningful trend.
That is another thing to note. And we talked to Dan Orlovsky about this yesterday, but the Bills last week in terms of motion at the snap of the football ranked sixth in the league, 25.3% of the time motion at the snap. They ranked ninth in pre-snap motion at 51.9%.
There's a lot going on, man.
Pre-snap motion more than half the time.
Right.
They ran, 77 plays, I think. Or 81 plays.
You might say, and think about it, because you have adjustment packages as a defense. If they come out in this, okay, this is what we're going to run. Now, if this guy changes over and the strength of the formation changes, we're going to check to this. We're going to adjust to this defense or make this adjustment in the defense. Then if this guy motions, we got to make another adjustment. So you can imagine what it forces the safeties and linebackers and the defensive front to start talking and yelling and screaming about what they're going to do and who they got. And you might wonder, well, why doesn't every team do that? Why doesn't every team make it tough on the pre-snap? Because it's not easy to execute and then to run an actual play the right way. So it's not easy to pull off and execute right, because you got to think where you line up first, where you're going to end up, and then depending on what the defense does, what you're going to do. That's a lot to think about in about a 3-second window or 4-second window pre-snap. That's why not every team does it. But that's why a lot of teams who do it can be pretty successful if they can execute it.
Yeah. One thing that we wanted to bring your way and make you aware of, Bills fans, knowing you're doing the home tailgating thing these days, Thurman Thomas and Pepsi have teamed up this Bills season to surprise a few lucky fans with an unbelievable home tailgate experience. Head to madeforbillswatching.com for your chance to score a visit from the Wall of Famer and Hall of Famer number 34. So be sure to check that out. madeforbillswatching.com, and you could have Thurman at a home tailgate. Could be pretty cool. He's got a pretty badass truck that they gave him.
It is a nice truck. It's like a panel truck, like a food truck.
Food truck, yeah.
But it's customized so you can walk in.
It's got a freezer in there.
It's like an indoor restaurant on the back of this food truck, right? I mean, Thurman's walking back in between the cab and the back. And they got a cooler.
I wonder if they're going to give him a car. You know, when he's got to go show up at somebody's house.
Pepsi ain't letting Thurman drive that vehicle. the commercial, he's sitting in the...
Yeah.
They ain't letting him turn the key of that thing.
Okay. They might let Billy Buffalo drive before they let
Thurman
drive.
He's got a better shot. Billy Buffalo's
got a headdress on, looking through a screen.
Did you see the moment in the broadcast over the game over the weekend? Billy Buffalo was the only fan.
Oh, God, that was good.
It was
hilarious. He had his mask on.
Upper deck.
He had his mask on.
That's great.
Yeah.
It was great.
All right, we got to take a break. But when we come back, more from your thoughts on the tweet sheet as to what you believe the Bills' run game will look like on Sunday against the Dolphins' defense that gave up over 200 yards on the ground to New England last week. Will they get it fixed, or will the Bills get their running game on track? Let us know at One Bills Live on the tweet sheet. We'll be reading those when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second half of the program now underway, a Thursday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you as we are thinking and contemplating about just what the Bills' run game is going to look like on Sunday in Miami. And we're focused more on the backs themselves, Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, than we are on Josh, because those are the guys that obviously the Bills want to see be more productive than they were last week against a good Jets run front, let's be honest. And the Dolphins do not bring the same level of success to their run front that the Jets have over the past year plus. So the odds are, you would think, in favor of the Bills being more productive with their backs, but we'll have to wait and see, because if you go over the last four games that the Bills have played against the Dolphins, the running backs have only averaged 3.6 yards per carry. And Josh Allen has, to a large degree, been the linchpin on which the running game has relied, especially against this Miami team. So
it may be tough for them to get the running game going with the running backs because of their Miami's confidence in their corners. They may feel a little bit more confident and leave those guys out, throw more guys at the box, and just dare the Bills to try and throw it outside. Mm-hmm. Because they may not believe Josh Allen is capable of doing what he did this last week against the Jets on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
They might say, hey, prove it. Let's see it again. And that may be their game plan. So it'll be interesting to watch in the early stages of this game where Miami Dolphins defense philosophy comes in, and it'll tell you what they think about your team. And that's always fun to see.
Back to the tweet sheet, and from Jeremy, he says, I'm expecting a turnaround. The Dolphins front isn't as elite as the Jets front. I'm hoping the pass game stays in the same rhythm and the run game can and should improve. I still feel the lack of preseason is having a hangover on a lot of teams and players, and hopefully it goes away soon. What do you think about the second part of that? Hangover from no preseason.
Yeah, I think they're still finding it. I think he's right. There's a lot going on in that statement, because it's not just the players and the players that have the hangover from no preseason. It's also the officiating. You went over to a year ago there were 82 holding penalties. This last weekend there were 18. A huge disparity in what the officials are working with here and how much they are involved in the game and what they're willing to let slide, the flow of the game, everything. It is really evident when you look at those statistics about the penalties called and how they are from year to year. It's really evident that they're trying to let the game look good on the broadcast. And in doing so, it'll be interesting to see which teams start to exploit that fact. Because it's there.
Yeah. From Steve, everyone thinks that since New England ran for 200-plus last week that it'll be the recipe for us to win. The Miami run D will be making corrections to fix it like any pro team. I believe passing in the middle of the field is what we need to exploit. New England doesn't have the receiving weapons that we do. He's right about that. And Brian Flores addressed that very topic. He basically said, I think I have the quote here somewhere. Let me see if I can pull it up very quickly, because he was asked about how Josh, much like Cam Newton, is a dual-threat quarterback, and how are you going to handle that? And Brian Flores said this: as far as dual threat from a run game and running quarterback standpoint, yes, we have seen some of it, but the Bills offer us some other issues. When you've got two outstanding receivers on the perimeter, it's hard to load up on the run game when you've got guys like that on the outside. They do a really good job in all areas, the tight ends, the backs, the scheme. I don't think it will just be all run or quarterback runs or all pass. There's a great mix there. We've got to do a good job of trying to defend it all. That is what's different between the Patriots and the Bills, right? I mean, you said you watched the game, right? The week one game between the Patriots and the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah.
Did it look like Cam Newton implicitly trusted all of those receivers? Because to me, it didn't.
No.
And they only attempted 19 passes, let's remember that.
You can make that statement.
But maybe that speaks to the lack of trust.
It's hard to disprove it because you never didn't see it that much. He threw it 19 times. And, you know, that's just not enough to get a feel for it. I don't think it had as much to do with Cam Newton as it did with Bill Belichick.
Maybe he didn't trust it.
They knew. Maybe he knew what he was looking at
during
training camp. He probably knew, and so did Josh McDaniels.
We're going to need a few more weeks to rep this passing game, guys.
Yeah. Cam Newton didn't call plays.
Yeah.
So I think it's just it was a couple of things working there. Yeah, they knew what they were looking at with their own team, and they knew what they were looking at with the Dolphins as well. So I think it was a total game plan decision, and I don't think the Patriots are going to run the ball with Cam Newton 15 times every game this season. I think it's going to be much more diverse for them. And I think you'll come out – I think with Cam Newton and this offense and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, I'll tell you this, I'll go on record right now, there are going to be more than one game this season where the Patriots win it by throwing it all the time.
Is Cam Newton doing the throwing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. They're going to win it with Cam Newton throwing the football all over the yard. That's going to happen on more than one occasion. I don't think that's going to be their identity, but they're going to have the ability to do that, or at least they're going to make the attempt to do that. So with having said that, yeah, they ran for, you know, umpteen yards this last weekend, and it may be what they do a lot this year, but I'm telling you, they're going to switch their identity once in a while this year, and they'll win it by throwing it, you know, 30 times and not running it 30 times.
All right, we have to take a break, but when we return, we will have Bills Vice President of Business Administration, Jason Sinaraja, on with us as he lets you know how you can help as the Bills Alumni Foundation and Independent Health are teaming up to help feed more Western New York with the Huddle for Hunger food drive. More on that when we return here on One Bills Drive, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here in hour number two of One Bills Live. And joining us via Zoom right now, well, just across the complex, actually. We couldn't have him in studio because of social distancing rules.
Right.
But Bills Senior Vice President of Business Administration, Jason Sinaraja, joining us now via Zoom to keep the distancing proper, to tell us a little bit about the Huddle for Hunger program that's going on this weekend out here. I believe it's right here at the stadium. Where in concert with Feed More Western New York, they're going to try to get some much-needed food to a lot of people in Western New York that need it. Jason, thanks for joining us. Why don't you just lay out the details as to how fans can kind of help us with this?
Sure. So thanks, guys, for having me.
Yeah.
Huddle for Hunger is a food drive we're doing with Feed More of Western New York starting tomorrow, so Friday. fans can come down here to the stadium in the parking lot from 4 to 8 and bring all kinds of shelf-stable products. We have a goal of collecting 20 tons of food. So it's a lot of food, and then we have a high goal. But we're looking for specific items such as peanut butter, macaroni and cheese, oatmeal, tomato sauce, basically anything that can be shelf-stable. So we'll be collecting food tomorrow, as I mentioned, from 4 to 8 here at the stadium, and then on Saturday from 12 to 4. We're going to be giving masks to the first 5,000 donors, so come early if you can. We're also going to have some of our legends, including Jim Kelly, here to greet people as they provide food. We'll do it in a socially distant manner, of course. But this is a really key initiative for us as an organization to support. As you know, guys, we're all very blessed here. We've had jobs. We don't have to worry about food on a regular basis. There are many people in our community across Western New York that are really struggling, that don't have access to food. And so this organization that we've partnered with really helps us there in that community.
I know also Channel 4 is involved as well in the promotion of this.
Yep.
And of course, we're all on board. We want to get as many people out here as we possibly can. What has been the onboard sell? I mean, have people, has it been difficult to reach people to come out and be a part of this? Because Brownie and I were just having the conversation when the schools let out last March.
Yeah, from the pandemic.
From the pandemic, it really crushed a lot of people, particularly kids in Western New York, with their inability to get meals from school.
Yeah, breakfast and lunch, basically.
Breakfast and lunch. So it seems as though this has been a time, and maybe the year of all years, for everybody to get involved. Has that been the sense you've gotten?
Yeah, Steve. I mean, this organization, Feed More of Western New York, has provided close to 80,000 kids meals since the pandemic hit in the middle of March here in Western New York. I mean, there's a lot of people that are really struggling, right, as I alluded to earlier. So 80,000 kids, they've provided food. They've worked with 300 agencies in the area to provide over 8.5 million pounds of food since March. But you're right. A lot of kids especially rely on their school program, particularly through the public schools, to actually get food. And so as a result of being at home and not having school at the facility, having distance learning, a lot of them are deprived. And so this organization has been really critical in our local community doing that. And it's not even just the kids. I mean, they've worked with Meals on Wheels. They've provided over 1 million meals to older adults that are really struggling right now. So, we're really ecstatic to be a part of this. Michelle Roberts in our Bills Foundation has done a really wonderful job of spearheading this initiative. And we have to do our part as leaders in the community and as one of the largest organizations in Western New York.
And Jason, I also understand that if for some reason people can't get out to the stadium either tomorrow afternoon or on Saturday, there is a way that they can donate virtually too, right, online?
Yeah, so you want to go to, I'm going to have to read this here, Chris, but you know, for those of you that cannot come, you can visit Feed More Western New York. So feedmorewny.org for more information and also to be able to donate and provide stuff if you can't come down to the stadium. I know it's tough sometimes to come down here, but we'd really love to see everybody. We're going to do a Friday night lights theme on Friday with the lights on and try to really do a rally-like atmosphere. But yes, if you can't come in, again, the website is www.feedmorewny.org. And you can also call the organization at 716-822-2002.
And there are some specific things that they're looking for, as you said. And I read the list of what they're kind of asking for. They're really kind of set. They want 15-ounce cans. They don't want the 64-ounce cans of stuff. 15-ounce cans of food. And there's some specific things they're kind of asking for, which for a lot of people makes it easy. Maybe for somebody it makes it less easy. But they know what they're looking for. And if you can help and kind of read that before you show up, it'll help a lot of people and help it go more smoothly.
Yeah, just basically go in your pantry at home. Look at all the stuff that's on the shelves there. peanut butter in 16-ounce plastic jars, macaroni and cheese in the 6-ounce box, so not the huge Costco size,
right.
The smaller ones, tomato sauce, 15-ounce cans, canned food in the 15-ounce cans, and then canned chicken and tuna, which is a high source of protein. 5-ounce cans would be great. And then also, I forgot to mention, but I'll mention it here, diapers and baby wipes.
Oh, yeah.
This would really help a lot of kids, especially and young parents as well, that are really in need.
Is there anything – I mean, that's kind of the only non-food item you're talking about, diapers and baby. Is there anything other that's non-food, or is that kind of – you want to look out for that? Is there any other non-food item?
Those are the two. For the most part, they're looking for food, guys. You know, I think, again, we're really focused on hunger, but – diapers and baby wipes are obviously very important for young families and infants that need it.
One other thing that I noticed as well that struck a chord with me was the individual oatmeal packs, instant oatmeal packs, right? That's one other thing they're looking for. So there's all kinds of way. I mean, right?
It sounds small, but it can be very significant.
Oh, it's perfect. And it's...
It's perfect, right? It's easy. It's quick serve, right? We're trying to make this for people to, once they get the food, obviously to be able to consume it. And there's not a lot of space because I think people, you know, really need to use the food right away.
Right.
All right, Jason. Well, listen, we thank you for kind of explaining how this is all going to work this weekend. We'll be looking forward to Bills fans who will undoubtedly turn out in droves here Friday night and on Saturday. Once again, Friday, September 18th, 4 to 8 p.m., and then Saturday, September 19th, 12 to 4 p.m., to support Feed More Western New York. Steve, you got one more thing?
Yeah, and we'd also like to circle back next week to see how it went. We'd like to get a follow-up. And we want to, you know, we invite everybody to come out. Jim's going to be there. And we'll circle back with you perhaps, Jason, next week and get some numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you to the community. Thank you guys for promoting this. And go Bills.
Awesome.
Go Bills.
Man. Thanks, Jason.
And maybe the most important thing we should mention is they are going to make this a contactless food drop-off. Like, if you're worried, you know, if you're one of those people that is inherently concerned about, exposure, or maybe you have underlying conditions, this is a contactless food drive. It's literally drop and go, where you don't come in contact with anybody else. They made sure to kind of adhere to COVID protocols so people wouldn't be reluctant to come and make a donation. And the people collecting the food for the food drive will worry about, you know, sanitizing cans and things like that, so the people that are receiving these donations are not at risk either. So contactless, completely safe. So make sure you come on down. And like Jason said, they're going to try to make it fun for everybody, make it a Friday Night Lights kind of atmosphere. So you're not just driving somewhere, you know, out of the way and driving home. You want to hang out for a little bit and kind of take in the lights and whatever, you can do that too. But certainly a good cause, because with this pandemic, as Jason said, there are a lot of people that are struggling. So thanks to Independent Health, to Channel 4, our broadcasting television partner, and obviously the Buffalo Bills Foundation, who are all chipping in to kind of help Feed More Western New York with this undertaking. All right, Steve and I have to take a break, but when we come back, it's the final hour of the program. We'll get into more of your thoughts from the tweet sheet, and we'll wait patiently for one running back, Zach Moss, who is supposed to join us after practice wraps up from the practice field, as he will be heading to, well, his hometown, for lack of a better term, as he goes down to play the Dolphins this week with his Bills teammates. He is a South Florida native, right out of Fort Lauderdale. So we'll see if he's got any tickets in those limited ones that are available in hour number three of the program here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.